The Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Well, the Passionate Radio Show is on that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Welcome in to reach the show today, youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. On the phone, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. And thanks for coming on today. Our guest at 34 past the hour is Dr. Neil Barnard, the author of Power Foods for the Brain. He's the president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He's on the faculty of George Washington University School of Medicine and a founding member of Whole Foods, the Whole Foods Medical Advisory Board. And he'll talk about power foods for the brain. So that'll be at 34 past the hour. Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hello, Joe. Boy, yep. That sounded bad. Hello, Joe.
Okay, that's better. A little closer to the mic always helps. Getting a little closer to the microphone isn't...
Well, it also helps when I cleared my throat.
Okay, so... Let's get started on today's show. What's the real edge tip of the week coming up?
Distract pain receptors with the natural pain relieving power of, well, you'll have to tune in. You'll have to stay tuned in till 56 after the hour to find out what that natural pain relief power is from.
Okay, Dr. Mike's real edge tip of the week. At the end of the hour, for those of you living in an area of the country where really truly is spring, I'm jealous because in the Northeast and where I am in Central New York, Syracuse, New York, half a foot of snow last night.
6 inches. Well, we're supposed to get 3 to 5 on Sunday night to Monday here in Cleveland.
So if you're getting that tomorrow, it's coming our way. Right after that, because I think Syracuse is a little east of Cleveland, and it's kind of tough to live by my motto, effective on March 1st. If it snows, let it melt. Because when you get 6 inches of snow, you have to do something about that. So
yeah, you know, Joe, the disturbing fact is, I think the groundhog saw his shadow or didn't see his shadow, whatever it is, but whatever it was supposed to be an early spring. And so it fits my motto that the groundhog is often wrong.
Well, the spring was early last year, okay, because I had 2 rounds of golf in already in the middle part of March last year. So it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks here, maybe less, depending if it's going to get warm. It doesn't seem to be getting warm, at least in the Northeast here for about a week. So if you live in a place listening to us here today and it's really spring, well, good for you. A lot of great
now,
stories.
Does it get warm in a week?
No, not really.
Oh, I thought you were giving me hope.
40. We could do better, but it's not. So, but when you have 6 inches of snow, you've got to do something about it. So it's tough to let it melt. A lot of great stories, Dr. Mike, we'll get into today. How many global deaths are there that are linked to sugary drinks? If you're diabetic, should you eat fruit? Plant-based Mediterranean diet could be pretty reasonably priced if you hear a lot about the Mediterranean diet.
In fact, lower price than the alternative, than the usual standard American diet.
Yeah, how many deaths you think, let's start with this today, because I've got a little bit on it too. How many deaths in this country are blamed on salt?
Well, it says that around the world, as I remember it was 2 million deaths around the world, and it was 125,000 in the United States.
So about 1 in 10.
Yeah, and I don't believe that.
You think it's higher than that?
No, I think it's much lower than that. The way they did that is they looked at the average salt consumption, what it did to your blood pressure, and then theoretically calculated that. So it wasn't what you would call original research. It was a theoretic thing. I just, you know, the data I have seen on salt's effect on people without salt-sensitive high blood pressure is so tiny that it would affect that 1/3 of 1% of hypertensives, or about 1 million people in the United States a year with salt-sensitive hypertension. But most of those don't die, obviously. They die over a 30 or more year period. So that's, 30,000 a year at most it affects, if you don't know about it. But the rest of us, it doesn't affect at all, and the data are really controversial for having an effect on the rest of us. So that's why I say this one isn't very good science, although it's a top story.
Let me see what you think about these numbers I found on this story. Most adults, this is according to the American Heart Association, most adults eat twice as much sodium as recommended. The WHO, World Health Organization, recommends no more than 2,000 milligrams a day. And the American Heart Association says no more than 1,500 milligrams. Yet 75% of the world's population consumes nearly 4,000 milligrams a day. So what do you think about those numbers on sodium?
I think those are exactly right. That's what we know we consume, around 4,000 a day. I have baked chips on rare occasion when I'm feeling tired. And so,
were you eating them before we went out here?
Right before, I had probably the first thing of baked chips I've had in maybe 6 months.
Oh, they're crunching on the air.
And I looked at the sodium, and it was 150 milligrams, which isn't really that bad when you consider most cans of soup are around 400 to 600 milligrams currently in the low sodium soup. So, I think it's probably very common. And you know what the leading cause of sodium in the American diet is, Joe?
Commercially prepared food.
But which specific commercially prepared item?
Beefaroni.
It's actually bread.
Bread?
Yeah, per slice.
White bread?
Dark bread, any kind of bread.
Yeah.
That is, the bread has about 100 milligrams per slice on average. And so if you figure you're eating 3 or 4 pieces a day, a piece of pizza, 2 pieces of pizza, is around 500 milligrams just from that.
Yeah, people kind of think, yeah, well, if I don't spread any salt on my food, I'm not consuming as much sodium. But you think about everything else that does have sodium in it. This what I read about this story today, the main culprits of that much sodium intake every day for most people are processed, commercially prepared food, overuse of table salt, and soy sauce added during cooking.
Well, and when you think about sodium foods and all of the processed foods that have sodium, they also are going to be higher in saturated fats, possibly trans fats and other things that increase your risk of so many other diseases. So it's hard to, you know, just blame sodium for all these problems, because most foods that are processed have a lot of other bad things.
But anyway, the average slice of bread does have 120 milligrams, goes up to, ranges between 100 and 200 on this survey of bread that I just got on the internet.
How much sodium in that bag of chips you were eating before we went on the air? How much?
150.
Sodium? All right, you beat me. I was eating Cheetos.
Oh, bad, Joe.
I know
those
they are.
Those are.
I know.
Oh gosh. Hey, if they're an advertiser on your morning show, I could let you say that.
How much are in your Cheetos?
We could do an integration if you like.
500.
Oh, you're kidding!
Wow.
Yeah.
In one little bag?
How many? Yeah, I'm one of these little suckers.
That's a lot, and they recommend for anyone older than 50 and anyone that's African American or has hypertension to only have 1,500 milligrams a day.
Yeah, but you know, it only matters with salt sensitive hypertension. One Domino's 14-ounce cheesy pizza per slice, 200 milligrams.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this in the garbage. I'm not gonna finish the bag.
A Domino's,
you made me feel
14-inch
bad.
Pepperoni pizza, one slice,
all right.
607 milligrams.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.